Okay, so Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph in Bava Metzia. We are past the sugyot of Hashavas Aveda, which we spent a long time on, and we're in a mafkid now, which is not about finding things, but rather about taking care of the things that people gave to you. So the Mishnah says as follows. I'm in the Mishnah at the top. Amr lishnayim gazalti lechad mikem mana ve'en yodea eze mikem. O aviv shal echad mikem hifkid li mana ve'en yodea ezo. Ezehu, notin lezem mana v'lezem mana, shehotim mipi atzma. Okay, so the beginning of the Mishnah says, you have one person says to two people who are standing in front of him, he says, look, I stole from one of you. I just can't remember which one I stole from. Now I'm chozer b'tshuva, I wanna return the money, I wanna return what it is that I stole, but I just cannot remember for the life of me which one of you I stole from. Or, a little bit more of a watered down case, I have something that used to belong to your father. Your father deposited something with me. He's not alive anymore. And I can't remember which of your father gave it to me. I can't remember. And I want to return it to you. So what does he do in that situation? So the Mishnah says, you know what? If the amount is amana, 100, right? So he has to give them both back 100. Which means he's paying back more, for sure, than what it is that he stole or had deposited with him. Because he's paying them both back. He's ending up paying 200. That's the first halakha in the Mishnah. Why? Shehodeh mipi atzmo. We're going to have to dissect that a little bit, but bottom line, it means because he admitted himself that he did steal or he did have money deposited. Nobody's accusing him of it. He admitted it himself. So he can't deny it because he admitted it himself. Okay. That's the first halakha. Shnayim shivkidu etzal echad zemonev zematayim zeomer shalim atayim zeomer shalim atayim noten lezemonev lezemonev v'ashar yehimunach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. What happens if you have a person who two people are claiming that they deposited with this guy money? He doesn't deny it. The only problem is that Reuven deposited with him 100 zuz. And Reuben and Shimon both deposited, but we don't know. One of them deposited 100 zuz, and the other deposited 200. And we don't know, each one of them claims that they deposited 200, but the one who is the Nifkad, the one who has it, he doesn't know which one is which. Okay. So he doesn't know who to pay back, and he doesn't want to pay back 200 to each one of them, because he doesn't feel like he should. So what does he do? So the Tanakhama says, what do you do? What do you think? Tanakhama says, 100. Give him each 100, and the extra 100 just sits in escrow. Or sits somewhere. It sits somewhere. She'imunach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. We're going to have to discuss what actually happens to it. But it doesn't go to either one of them. And l'chora, the one who has the money, who was deposited with him, he also doesn't get to use it. Fine. Amar b'yosi, about this case, imkein ma'ev sidar amai. El ha'kol yehimunach ad sheyavo Eliyahu. Rabbi Yossi doesn't like this because he says, if you do that, then you know what? Everybody's going to take advantage of this halakha. Any Reuven and Shimon who notice that the person who has their money wasn't paying attention, every single time they're going to say, oh, I was the one who left you the 200. Each one of them is going to do that. So how are you going to, he's always going to make the other guy lose. So you have to have a way of at least, and the Ramai is not going to lose anything because he's going to get at least his 100 back. He loses nothing. So you have to make a way for him to lose something to deter him from doing this. So Rabbi Yossi says, all of the money gets left. Nobody gets paid back anything. Now, does that mean that one of the an innocent person is going to get punished? Yeah, that's what it means. The innocent person is going to get punished even more than according to the Tanakhama. But at least, hopefully, this will prevent people from trying to pull off this trick.
Would alternatively punish the guy who lost track of where his deposits came from.
Oh, that's a good point. We're going to get back to that. So Ella,
the example is the 100 and the 200. So there's some sort of proportionality to it. If one deposited 10 and the other deposited 500, and he says 500, you know, so the proportionality's gone. So 510 sits aside. So the guy who was the Ramais, well, he's hardly really lost.
He's lost almost nothing.
And the other guy's lost a lot.
You're supporting Rabbi Yossi. You're saying Rabbi Yossi makes a lot of sense because everybody's going to take advantage of this.
Yeah, I'm saying that isn't, you know, the solution is it's problematic. It's because the example you have, 100, 200, the solution makes sense.
The only other solution is to pay them both, but that's not a good solution either.
Yeah.
I think what he's also perhaps saying is that in the end, Rabbi Yossi is right by default, because you're never going to have a case where there's only, in general, it won't be a case with only two depositors where it's proportional amount of money. So it's going to be as if everything, because the 10 shekel, the guy with only 10 shekels, he's going to make that amount be the amount that everybody's going to get, and then everything else is going to be held in escrow or held until...
Yeah, he's going to get back his money. That's
basically
Rabbi Yossi's
all
point.
The money's going to be held back anyway.
Exactly.
And any reasonably...
Well, not all of it. He could have gotten back. In other words, you're holding back more, according to Rabbi Yossi, from the innocent party, from the one who really did.
No, we have, 10,000 depositors in your bank.
Yeah, but let's say it wasn't like this. Let's say it was 600 and 500. Mm-hmm. So this is 500 you're withholding from the guy who really did deposit money for no reason. Well, a reason.
I'm picturing a bank with hundreds of people.
It could be any of these cases, yeah. So, Ela Koye Munah Achat Shovel Yah, that's Rabbi Yossi's Shita. V'chein, Shnei Kelim, Echad Yafa Mana V'Echad Yafa Elef Zuz. Imagine you deposited with somebody a kli, let's say a laptop, whatever, right? You gave him, one of you gave an old laptop, one of them gave a new laptop. So the new laptop is worth much more. They're both claiming that the new laptop was theirs. Zeomer Yafashali, Zeomer Yafashali, Noten et Katan Le'echad Mehen. Umitoch Agado, Noten Dinme Katan L'Sheni. V'Hashai Emunachat Shevliyahu. What do? You give the not so good one, right, the smaller one, to one of the people. And the bigger one, you sell, or you find a way to turn it into money. And you give the value of the money to the other guy. It doesn't matter which one. It doesn't differentiate between them. And then you have leftover money, right? The difference between the Kli Yafe and Kli Eno Yafe. That sits at Shiavu Eliyahu. So you have the same problem here. Amar Yosim Kain Mahifsed Aramai. El HaKol Yehimunach at Shiavu Eliyahu. Yosim says, no, you keep both laptops on the side until Eliyahu shows up. L'chore, that's what that means. All right? That's the Mishnah. Any questions about the Mishnah before we continue?
Why don't we leave it up to the Kodesh Baruch to do something to the Baramai? Why is it up to us? Because someone's losing. But someone's losing here. It's not that we've solved the problem and no one's losing. The one who really gave the money, he's now losing.
You could ask this question about almost any Dine Mamanos issue, no?
I think we also need to take a Shavuah.
Ask who to take a Shavuah.
Both of them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll get... I mean, we're not going to get to that. But that's definitely up for grabs, but that's not what we're going to talk about. It's a good question.
I don't understand the concept.
Which concept? You expect it to be okay to just give?
He's Ramai. He'll get his
comeuppance.
Yeah, I mean.
The job of a Beis Din, the job has a few rules. The Beis Din has a few jobs, and one of the jobs is to maintain social order. Rashi says. If you do this, then no Ramai will ever tell the truth. They'll never tell the truth. Because he knows he didn't lose anything. We don't want a world like that. We don't want that to happen.
What about the guy that's...
What's preventing him from doing it the next time and the next time and the next time?
What about the righteous guy?
It's a valid question. But for the good of the klal, I guess... We're trying to prevent this Ramai from doing. We're hoping that by doing this, by making the halakha like this, the Ramai won't do it to begin with.
But why would you?
That's what we're hoping for.
Why would you give it to me? There isn't enough money to give both of them. So why would you pick the Ramai over the other one anyway?
No, I'm saying
you're creating a very simple game theory, right? Basically, if the halakha is like this, the Ramai gains nothing. The only reason for him to do this is because he feels so spiteful towards the other guy that he's willing to lose 100 shekel so that the other guy will lose 200 shekel. It's the only reason for him to do that.
By the way, the second example is 1,000 compared to 100.
Mm-hmm.
1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy is left without his 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For the 100 that the other guy may have.
The guy was only going to get 100 anyways. Even if you went according to the Tanakhama, he was only going to get 100. A better thing would have been 900 and 1,000. Then you'd have a point. Because he's losing 900. The fact that he's losing 100 is not a big deal because he wasn't going to get any more than that. He was only going to get 100 anyways.
But there is something in between, which let's take 900 and 1,000.
Yeah.
You could say both of them get 750 and the rest gets put aside. Mm. You know, so the Ramai still loses, so there's still a bit of a deterrent for not to do it. You get to do it, you get, I don't know, 70% of your point, of seven, you know, something like that. They both get that, and then the rest gets put aside.
Why is he losing?
The Ramai. Yeah. If he deposited 900, he's claiming 1,000.
Oh, he's saying he did deposit 900.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees he deposited 900.
He deposited 200 and the other guy deposited 1,000.
Some kind of yakaloko.
I missed the initial thing when I was printing. He did deposit something.
They for sure both deposited something.
Or even if it's 200 and 1,000, give them 150 each and the rest goes into... sits aside.
So well, it comes arbitrary.
It is, yeah, but you can do it as a percentage.
It's very simple. You know what? No one gets anything. Bye.
That's what Rabbi Yossi said.
That's the best you can do as a basic?
This is Shlomo HaMelech, right?
It's kind of happening. No. Something similar to this does happen.
Shlomo HaMelech decided to give each half.
Class action lawsuits.
He didn't keep the child for himself and says no one gets the child. He was suggested to cut it in half, which makes sense. I mean, not any human being, but...
Look, no, obviously, the issue with Matthew, I think the issue is you're offering only a half measure. The two options on the table seem to be give them each the minimum of what they both definitely deserve, right? And then let the chips fall where they may for the other one. That's definitely the fairest thing to do. That's for sure the fairest thing to do. The only problem is that it disrupts the social order.
So you only need to add an element of deterrent in there. So it gives 20% discount.
I guess the decision was that wasn't sufficient deterrent. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. And I'm not sure how you would even decide how much deterrent it would be worth it. Anyways. Much simpler to just say, you get nothing. And hopefully that will just prevent the Ramai from doing it to begin with. I'll tell you why. Because your whole idea is premised on the idea that is that if you give him 75%, then it's not so unfair to the innocent person. Yes, but that means it's also not as much of a deterrent for the Ramai.
Correct.
So
but it's about
you haven't gained
balance.
Anything.
Or even 50%. It's about finding the balance. So Rabbi Yossi says even though it's more important to focus on the deterrent than the innocent guy losing out.
What I'm saying is maybe there is no balance because, again, your sweet spot is the sweet spot where, okay, the innocent person doesn't feel so bad about the money he lost. But that means that the Ramai probably also doesn't feel so bad about the money he's losing. Wherever you put that bar...
They're not the same ones. Let's take 200 and 1,000 and they get 150 each. Maybe the losing 50 is enough for the Ramai not to do it.
No, think about it.
The other guy's going to lose. He's either getting...
No, think about it. That's even worse. That's even worse because... If you take wildly different numbers, let's say, for example, 100 and 1,000, right? So you're going to say, okay, give the guy 75. So I don't even think it's going to satisfy him anyways. But let's say it did satisfy him. It's even better. The Ramai is getting more. The Ramai is getting a higher percentage of what he actually is losing than the innocent person.
Yeah, that's definitely the case.
It's always going to be the case. So he still comes out better.
Yeah, but there's enough of a deterrent. The point is just trying to find enough of a deterrent.
I guess not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, Rabbi Yossi might believe that it's never going to happen. The Ramai will be so deterred that he'll never do this. And
that's definitely the theory.
If he's out to hurt guy A, then that won't work. If he's out to try to get more money, they're just giving him back the minimum amount. He doesn't use that, right? No deterrent.
Yeah.
He gets his 100, the first guy gets his 100 and the rest sits.
That's what Rabbi Yossi says. That's why he says don't do that. He says don't give him anything. Don't give either of them anything. That's Rabbi Yossi's position. He says don't give them anything.
The deterrent is so extreme, the case won't happen.
That's what we're hoping for.
Question.
Don't negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah, something like that. All right. So, the Gemara says, Alma... So here, this is the first point the Gemara makes. Alma, this seems to mean that misfeka mafkinan mamona, velo amrinan oki mamona bechetzkas mare. Right, this is one of the most important concepts in Dine Mamonos. It seems the Gemara says it sounds like from the beginning of the Mishnah, right? The beginning of the Mishnah said that if you didn't know, you weren't sure who you had to pay back, right? Because you know you stole, but you don't know, you don't remember which one you stole from. So what do? You pay them both back, right? So the implication from there, just keep only that part in mind, forget the rest of the Mishnah. The implication is that if you have a suffix about whether or not you owe money, what do?
Pay everybody.
You pay. That seems to be what the theory is. Misfeka mafkinan mamona. When we have a suffix, you take money out of the hands of the person who currently has that money, if there's a suffix about whether he owes somebody else. And we don't say that when you have a suffix, you leave the money where it is.
Err on the side of paying the money back.
We have, exactly, err on the side of paying the money back, as opposed to what's the most famous phrase that says the exact opposite? Hamotzi mechavero, alav haraya. That says that in order to take money away from somebody, you must be, not 100%, well, you have to be 100% sure that the money should leave him. You have to be very, very sure. Because his hold on his money is the best claim outside of witnesses. I have the money, it's mine. If there's a suffix about whether I owe anybody money, that shouldn't beat the fact that I have the money. But our Mishnah seems to contradict that, because it says that if I even have a suffix that I owe somebody money, then I actually have to pay him.
That's because he's the one whose job it was to look after it.
And no, here this is the case where he stole.
He's the witness against himself.
No, he knows right, here he admitted himself. That's the words of the Mishnah. The words of the Mishnah is because he admitted himself.
But it sounds like then the Mishnah has not a counter saying anything.
But no, but even if he is the one who admitted himself, it's still only a suffix. He doesn't know who he owes the money to.
It's a suffix to whom he owes the money, but it's not a suffix that it's not his money. There's no cheskat, him having the money, therefore it's his.
Yes,
it's
but definitely not his. He definitely doesn't owe them both.
Sure.
But he pays them both.
Yeah, this is not a case of him saying that this money is mine.
It means he stole
it. It sounds like the Gemara is assuming that the mechanism at work over here is basically this guy is sitting in front of Reuven and Shimon. He has a suffix whether he owes money to Reuven. He's a suffix whether he owes money to Shimon. He ends up paying them both.
But what Yechezkel is saying is if he turned around and said, no one deposited money with me, this is just my money, and he'd be believed.
Then it would, yeah. Then
that's fine, and we're going to return to that point. But the point is, at this point in the Gemara is, even if you point that out, it's still only a suffix who he owes the money to.
Yeah, but the principle doesn't apply here, because the principle is where he has a chazakah, I guess is what it's been. The chazakah is that he has the money, and it's his, therefore it's his. He's not saying it's his. It's not his. So it's different than that phrase, because in this case, we know it's not his. The question is, whose is it?
And right, exactly. He'd happily hand it over to the Beit Din and say, you sort it out. It's not
but
my
he doesn't
issue.
Do that. And not only does he not do that, he pays them both.
Yeah, because the alternative is absurd, to pay neither. He knows he stole them.
No, it's not. That's not absurd. Who does he... Look, let's put it this way.
One of them has definitely been stolen.
But let's put it this way.
He has stolen it.
Why is he paying the money back?
Because one of them has lost it right.
Hold on. Is that why? To try to make it right?
Yeah.
Meaning from his perspective. Is that so clear?
No.
Is there another option?
To make it right.
The Heshivat
HaGzela. Yafeh mod. Yeshivat HaGzela. Does the Heshivat HaGzela require him to give the money back to both of them? It would seem very strange if one of them he didn't steal from, that he has an obligation to pay them both back. He didn't steal from both of them.
His obligation is probably only to give to the one who stole.
Exactly, and he doesn't know which one that is. So the idea that he should have to pay them both back.
There's no other alternative.
No, the other alternative is in a suffix. It's a suffix case, so he doesn't have to pay either one of them back.
No, that's not.
It may seem strange, but it is logical.
No, but
I don't know.
If there's one person, let's say he comes to one person and says, I don't know, I may have stolen from you. What does the Beit Din say? From one person, just from one person, I'm not sure. I may have stolen from you.
We'll see that case later, but yeah.
What happens with one person? Does he have to give it back? He says,
If he may have stolen from him?
He says, I may have stolen from you.
Yeah, we can look ahead on the sheet.
Okay.
That's the last case in the Shulchan Aruch. And the answer is, Eino chayev l'shalom lo. You say, I'm not sure if I stole from you. Of course you don't have to pay him back. Case is, I'm sure I stole from somebody, but I don't know who. Now, this is great stuff, and we're going to, the Gemara was going to explain, but let me put it this way. Forget about what the right thing to do is. What can you make him do? Can you make him pay both of them? Does that seem right that you should be able to make him pay both of them?
Maybe.
I don't know. That seems very strange that you're able to make him pay both of them.
Compared to the alternatives, that is what I'd like to say.
The alternative is, it's a shame. It's a shame. You're in a bind over here.
It's on him.
But we can't make you pay both of them.
I don't think so.
If you want to fix it, he knows he didn't.
But that's not what we're talking. That's a great point, but that's not the question I asked. The question I asked is, what can we make him do? Midine mamonos. What can we make him do? We can say he's required to do from the Beis Din. What can we hit him until he does it?
He knows that he stole. It's his fault. He doesn't remember from whom he stole.
Yeah.
So what else can we do? I don't see an alternative.
The other alternative is that he doesn't have to pay anybody back, because neither person is
on him.
It is on him, and it's an avera. But at the end of the day, how can we make him? All right, let's continue with the Gemara, because you know these are things that we're gonna work out. But either way, the Gemara says it's the implication over here is that in a Suffolk case you have to give money, which seems very strange, and the Gemara will show why it's very strange. Uriminhi, what kind of questions are Uriminhi?
Really good one.
Same
level, yes. It's the same level, which means that it's going to be another Mishnah or a Braita. And if we answer it, great. If we don't, nobody loses. Remini. Shnaim shifkidu etzel echad, zeh mimana vezeh ma'atayim, zeh omer shali ma'atayim, vezeh omer shali ma'atayim. Where's this from? There's no Masor Shashas here because this is our Mishnah. It's the same Mishnah. It's the same Mishnah. It's the next clause in the Mishnah. And they're bringing a question from there. What's the implication from there? You know you owe both of them money, but you don't know if, and you know you owe one of them 200 and the other 100, but you don't know which one. What do? 100 goes to one guy, 100 goes to the other guy, and the other 100 just sits. It just sits. Do you have to pay both of them back 200?
No.
Wouldn't that be the right thing to do?
Well, that would
yes. Maybe, thing. Right? But you don't. You only have to pay them back 100, 100, and the other 100 sits. So you don't have to pay out of your pocket any money that you aren't absolutely required. This 300 you're absolutely required to pay back. You can't hold on to that money. But any more than that, you don't have to give back. So
it does sound like a contradiction.
It does. It should.
Well,
so that's
one's double stuffing. One's you don't know the person, you don't know the amount. In the first case, you just don't know the person, you know the amount.
No, here you know the people. You just don't know which one you need to pay. And you know the amount as well. You just don't know which one gets the last amount. So in theory, you could pay them both back 200, right? But you
if
don't
the principle is that you only pay back what you know, then in the first case, then you pay nothing to either, and then you hold on to Mashiach.
In theory, you should have done that, right? In theory, you should have done that.
No, but here you could say, because they're coming they're coming to him. It's not he's admitting.
He's not volunteering.
It's not the same thing before.
Okay.
Yeah, but there is the flip side. And if he took the deposit, he took the money. In theory, there's something on him about knowing who took money from as well. It's not saying it in the Mishnah.
So the Gemara goes in a slightly different, it's very similar, but slightly different direction at the beginning. It says, Amar Lei, here's the answer. Pikadon agezel karamit, gezel do avad yisur kansuhu rabbanan. Pikadon do lo avad yisur lo kansuhu rabbanan. So the Gemara says, no, this is the answer. There's a difference between gezel and pikadon. When it comes to gezel, like you guys were saying before, look, the fact that he doesn't remember who he stole from, that's his problem, and he's got to pay for it. It's a knas. Remember who you steal from. You steal some from two people, from one person, you don't remember who, guess what? You're going to have to pay them both back. Pikadon, you didn't do anything wrong. You had a deposit. For whatever reason, you forgot who gave it back to you. We'll get into why later. So, you know, you're not going to have to be charged for that.
The second case wasn't about a case of stealing.
What do you mean the second case wasn't about the case of stealing?
We brought the contradiction. That wasn't a case of stealing?
The case that the Gemara mentioned was a case of stealing. It was where you said, I don't know which one of you I stole from.
Right. But the other case that it just brought in to say there was a contradiction
was the Pikadon case.
That was Pikadon.
Okay. Right. It was Pikadon. I thought you were going to say something else, which would have been the next line of the Gemara, which is, look back again at the beginning of the Mishnah. Does this answer really work? Is what I'm going to be driving at over here. Yeah, keep going. Keep going. What's the second case in the Reisha? The second case in the Reisha is a Pikadon case. So this answer is not going to get us very far, as we're going to see. But at the beginning, at least, the Gemara gives a Pluman answer, which was a very reasonable answer, which is to say there's a difference between Gezel and Pikadon. Gezel, you have to pay extra. Pikadon, you don't have to pay extra. Fine. But then the Gemara is going to continue and says, Verami pikadon apikadon, verami gezel gezel. Yeah, you think you're going to get away with that? You're not going to get away with that. I will ask a contradiction from pikadon to pikadon, and also from gezel to gezel. Namely, I'll show you a case where in pikadon you do have to pay extra, and a case where you don't have to pay extra. And I'll show you a case of gezel where you have to pay extra, and another case of gezel where you don't have to pay extra. Gemara says you wanna come out with these kinds of answers. I'll give you better questions. The katani reisha. This is our Mishnah. O aviv shel echad michem yifkid etzli mana ve'en yode eze hu noten lazemana v'lazemana. That's what we just mentioned. Uriminhi shneim shifkidu. That's our question, right? In other words, the reisha has a second case where it's hafkada, and you simply don't know which one left the one, which one gave you the pikadon. You don't know whose father it was. So there you, but there you do have to pay extra. And in the rest of the Mishnah, it says you don't have to pay extra. So how do we deal with that? So we'll deal with that one first. Amarava, Reisha Nasa Kamisha Hifkidu Lo Bishne Krichos. Dahavale Lemedak. Seifa Nasa Kamisha Hifkidu Lo Bekrach Echad, Dolo Havale Medak. Kigonda Hifkidu Travayu Bahade Adade Bechad Simna. Dahamra Lahu, Ant Gufaychu Lo Kaptitu Adade Anakapidna Vera Anakapidna. Okay, so what does that mean? So you guys were hitting on this before. Guy should really be keeping track of things that people leave with him, right? So that's the point that the Gemara makes, is that there are two different ways of getting pikadons. Sometimes you get a pikadon and you really should be keeping track, and sometimes you get a pikadon and you're excused if you don't keep track. What's the example? So the Reisha, one person gave him a pikadon. It was somebody's father, and he lost track of who that was. There's no excuse for that. One person came to him. It wasn't two people, and he forgot which one it was. One person came to him, and not another person, and he should have kept track of who it was. He forgot who it was. He's got to pay. But in the second case, two people came to him with denominations of money, and the Gemara is assuming that they came to him at the same time.
It's more reasonable that he'd be giving.
Exactly, two people came to him. They kind of dropped it on his table and then walked away. And he kind of like he assumed that these guys came together. They must be friends. They must trust each other. That's the assumption that's going on over here. They must trust each other. They don't think that one of them is going to swindle the, what must have happened? Reuven noticed that Shimon left 200 and Reuven only left 100, right? So Reuven comes back later and says, oh, I left 200. And the guy with the pikadon is at a loss. So there's no knas. In other words, it's again a knas case. The knas is for somebody who can't seem to keep track of the people who leave him money, but he should have kept track. And there's no knas for the person who had an excuse for not keeping track because they both left him money at the same time.
Maybe you could be worded as it's excusable to mix up records, but it's less excusable to not keep records.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So that's how we deal with the two pikadon cases. Now we have to get to...
Why is there no reference at all to shehoda b'fi atzmo? Why is that? That means that has no...
It's a great question. There will
for
be.
The pikadon.
There will be. There will be, and we're also going to talk about it in the sources. Okay. Money. Okay. That's Rava. That's Rava. Now we're up to Rami Gezel Agezel, third line, third wide line. Rami Gezel Agezel. Now, we haven't seen this yet. They're going to bring a contradiction. Ketani Hacha, our Mishnah says, Lishnaim gazalti lachen mechem mana veni odeh ezeh mikem o aviv shalachan mikem hivkili mana veni odeh ezeh hu notin lezeh mana lezeh. That's what we saw in our Mishnah, that he has to pay extra. Ureminhi. And there's another source. This is a breita in Bava Kama and in Yevamos, and it says, gazal echad mechamisha veino yodeh ezeh mehen gazal. Zeh omer oti gazal vzeh omer oti gazal meniach zeh labeneim umistalek divrei Rabbi Tarfon. A person stole from one of five people. Right? There were five lunch boxes all lined up, and he took one of them, and they all looked exactly the same, and he doesn't know which one it was. Five people come forward, and each one claims that it was his. How many does he owe? He definitely only owes one, but how much does he have to pay for? Rabbi Tarfon says he takes the lunch box, he puts it down, and says goodbye. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like he says.
Because you've got other. Not only is he a thief, you've got four liars. Right?
Okay.
I mean, they're
yes,
all
but you got one person telling the truth. You got one person telling the truth.
They're all chipping in with a deceit. If would that case have been the same if there are two?
What's the difference?
Case of two lunch boxes. That's the same as what we've got.
I think you're making a good point with the cheat, but I would go from the other direction. But let's keep going. The Gemara says, "Alma miseka la mafkina mamona." It sounds like from this case with Rabbi Tarfon that you're not mafkin mamin. You're not. You don't take money out for a suffik because here he doesn't have to pay any of the other five back. V'aminan oki manim b'chaskas mare. You let him keep his money. So first, the Gemara makes a preliminary point, which is umimayd matnitin dahacha Rabbi Tarfon he. Maybe there's no contradiction. One way to get out of any contradiction is just to establish that it's not the same person in both sources. So we have to establish that our Mishnah could have been said by Rabbi Tarfon. So they say, we can do that. The Katani Allah, the high mode of Bitarfin Baomer Lishnaim Gazalti Lachen Mechem Mana, Veini Odev Aids Mechem, Shanotan Lazem Mana, Lazem Mana. So really the truth is, there's an internal contradiction over there in Baba Kama, because the Gemara, the right in Baba Kama has the exact same halacha as our Mishnah. So we might as well just deal with Baba Kama by itself, but we'll deal with it over here. So now we've established that Rabbi Tarfon could have said both our Mishnah and the Braita and Baba Kama. Now we need to figure out what the answer is. So the answer the Gemara gives is Hatam dekatibayle hacha bebalit said idei shamayim. This is what Yoel was looking for. Over there by the five, who the five people who claim that they were stolen from, they're not sitting back and just listening. They're claiming, they're suing, they're saying, you stole from me. But in our Mishnah, is that the implication? No, our Mishnah says, the guy comes forward and says, they don't even know about it, it sounds like. The guy comes forward and says, I stole from one of you. They're surprised. They never even heard of this. So in that case, what's going on? Ironically, but not counterintuitively, but not necessarily strangely, we're more machmir with the person who came forward than we are with the person who is being accused and sued. Now, why is that? And this is the point that I was trying to make before.
Because he's admitting it, not having anything to do with them being active or passive.
No, because in the second case, he admits it as well. That's the difference. With the five, he's not claiming that he didn't steal. He agrees that he stole. He just doesn't remember who he stole from.
So I find it strange that he's not paying back 500
pieces. So this is the answer. The answer is that there's a difference between what we can make him do and what he should do. What we as a Beit Din, Dine Adam, can do is we can only make him pay as much as he stole. We can't make him pay more than what he stole. We can't. What happens if there's 100 people? 1,000 people? We can't make him pay more than what he actually stole. However, if you have a person standing in front of you who says, I want to make it right, I want to be Yotzei Yidei Shamayim, I want to make sure. What does he want to make sure? Meishevet Gzeila. That's what he wants to make sure. He wants to make sure that he's Meishevet Gzeila. He can't be sure that he's Meishevet Gzeila unless he pays everybody back. That's the only way to make sure that he's Meishevet Gzeila. Because if there's even a chance that the person he paid back is not the person that he stole from, then he accomplished nothing from the perspective of the celestial balance, from the perspective of human justice. He's done what he needs to do by just putting it back in the hands.
So it's not really different cases. It's more the aim of the Beit Din is totally different in what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah. In other words, he's coming forward and saying, "What should I do?" And they tell him, "This is what you should do."
If he says, "Never mind," after that, then he won't have to pay both of them back. He won't have to pay both of them back.
No. I don't think so. I don't think they're going to make him do it. But I could be wrong.
Because the terminology sounds like they make him do it.
It does sound like that at the beginning. But then again, Shahodim, well, Rashi says in the Mishnah, Shehoda mipi atzmo, ho'il v'hoda mipi atzmo, uba gemara mefarish tam emahu. In other words, the Gemara explains what hoda mipi atzmo means. So I would take that to mean, I really should have been more careful in looking it up, but whether or not he's actually required, can he be forced to pay back in this case? I'm not sure.
If in the first case, it's where he's initiated, he's acknowledged he's done something that he wants to make good.
Yeah.
He's saying, I stole from one of the three of you, or from one of the four of you, from one of the five of you. It would still make sense
to pay all them back.
Will say, look, if you want to make good, pay everyone.
100%.
But according to the din, you will only have to pay back the amount.
Yeah.
That would still be consistent. if it's possible that they're going to force him to repay, I think it becomes far fetched if there are 5, 10, 20 people. He just doesn't know who.
No, it would just be, you would have a chiddush that once a person is mechayev himself, then he has to pay them all back. You're saying if it's really just the hoda'a, no, but here he's also modeh.
No, but I think the difference.
It doesn't matter whether he came forward.
The reason the number of people makes a difference, at least for me, is because you have people who are on the other side of it who are being dishonest. In the first case, we have, there are two guys
you're saying,
no. It's like the
you're saying that maybe that's the reason why he doesn't have to pay them all back.
Yeah, the mafkid of the father, the father who gave something and the sons don't even know about it. So in that case, it makes sense. They don't know who's supposed to receive. He's the one who's supposed to have kept track. He didn't keep track. All right, so he's going to have to pay them both, which is consistent with the gazelle.
But I don't think it's consistent with that he wants to be Yotze Bidei Shamayim. In other words, I hear what you're saying. You're suggesting that the reason why he doesn't have to pay back in the five case is because of the other side. Yeah. It's because of the other side. It's because they're all liars. But that doesn't fit well with the lashon of he wants to be Yotze Bidei Shamayim, because that's all about him. You hear what I'm saying?
No, but the second case isn't about him wanting to be...
Exactly. But the Gemara says that's the difference between the first and the second case. The difference is what his motivation is. If the Gemara had said, because in the second case you've got a bunch of people who are liars and we don't want to reward liars, then I would hear you. But because it focuses on him, it sounds like that's the difference.
But the best thing not get testimony from the five people, so not the issue.
What?
But the Beth Din not hear testimony from the five claimants. It's not a Beth Din issue.
If they can prove something, then they'll prove it.
Well, they need to, I'm saying. It's not just that.
Oh, you mean, how does the Beth Din... you're asking what do they do with the money?
They need to hear testimony from all five, or was just the five people are claiming it's his issue, because he can't remember who he did it from.
If one of them can prove that he stole from them, then that's certainly good enough. It would be good enough by itself. One of them can bring
the case of the Beth Din.
The case is that nobody's bringing any edim about anything. This guy agrees that he stole. They each claim that he stole from them. Nobody has any proof of anything. It's their baris, and he's a shema, but kind of a funny shema, because he knows that he stole. He just doesn't know who he stole from. Okay, so the Gemara even says, Dek and Nami, and this is definitely right, the Katani. The Mishnah says, Shahoda mipi atzmo. Shmamina? That's the proof. That's the difference between the cases. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Amar Mar. Hatam de katibayle vahala matoin. What exactly is happening over here? Let's focus on the Gemara now shifts to the case in Bava Kama. The case where there's the one and the five. What exactly is happening? They are each claiming, you stole from me. What does he respond to them? Rav Yehuda Amar Rav hala shotek. Rav Matna Amar Rav Hala Saveach. The first opinion says that he stays silent, he doesn't say anything. And the other says, he yells back and says, no I didn't, no I didn't, no I didn't, no I didn't, five times. But then he says, alright, I did steal from one of them. Right? It's kind of a funny thing. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? Mandamar Hala Saveach, according to the one who says that he's yelling, then aval shtika kehoda dami, kehoda. If he didn't yell, if he just stayed quiet, the halacha would be that he would actually have to pay back each one of them because he's basically admitting that he stole from them. Umanda ma'ala shotek, what does he think? He doesn't require him to yell. Shtika da'ach alav kehodahu. Matziyamer le, hay de shtiki d'chol chad v'chad, amina dilma hay hu. Because the guy can always say, my shtika doesn't mean anything. The reason why I was quiet is because I do know that I stole from one of you. I just don't know which one. So that's why I didn't say anything.
What are the states of these five people?
What do you mean?
They're all lost to somebody, or they're actually just kind of in themselves?
They're claiming that they lost. You're saying, do we know that they lost? I don't know. If it matters. I don't know if it matters that we know that they lost.
One of them, they only stole from one. So. Right. So suddenly
five guys claiming that...
He stole their lunch. He claimed that he stole the lunch last Tuesday.
They're probably four, and that's way too coincidental. He's suddenly up against four guys that are trying to gun up back from him.
Imagine
honest, upstanding citizens who somehow lost the same thing on the same day.
Yeah. Nah. A phone, an iPhone, okay? iPhone, five. How many people lose an iPhone every day? One guy shows up and says, here, I stole this iPhone from somebody. Five people come forward and say, you stole it from me. We were on the bus at the same time.
I seem full of lying.
They are lying.
No, they're mistaken.
They are lying, but they had... No, they are lying.
They're lying.
Maybe they each lost. Maybe the other four lost their iPhone and this is their opportunity to get it back.
Then they're not lying. They're mistaken.
No, they're lying. No, they really lost it. They know. I don't know if it matters whether they're lying or they're mistaken. What?
If he suddenly confronted them, it makes sense that he shouts out at them.
What's funny is, according to the opinion that says he shouts at them, what does he shout? No, I didn't? He doesn't know that he didn't.
He says, don't know you.
Yeah, which is false. Or at least it's not necessarily true. He did steal from one of them.
Yeah,
false in one case.
He's false in one case, exactly. So why is he yelling?
Because it can't be all of them.
Because it can't be all of them, and because he wants to prevent the situation
where
he needs to pay all five of them. So
he has one other option.
There's a falsehood there.
Which is to say to one of them, yeah, it was you.
Here. He does have an option like that.
And then the other, and maybe be
why doesn't he do that, Matthew?
He'll be repaying. Okay.
Will he?
He may not be repaying the right person.
I guess we have to
five
wonder.
Five lost iPhones that day, right? If they're not.
Is it better? Is it better? Is it better that in this situation? What's the better thing in this situation for him to do? Is it better for him to pay to just give it back to one of the five, not knowing if that's the one that he stole from? Which means that the one he stole from, which the chances are, there's one out of five chance that the one that he stole from never gets his phone back, right? Which means he didn't give it back to anybody. What's the other option? To put it to the side. Until something happens, right? Which is better? I know what Yecheskel is going to say. Yecheskel is going to say, give it back to one of them, because then you at least have a 1 in 5 chance that you gave it back to the right person. Statistically, you might get something out of it. But that's definitely not what you do. It's definitely not what you do. You don't give it to one of them and just guess. We could ask the question, why not? Why can't you do that? If I found an iPhone, can I just give it back to anybody?
You don't get the Yeshivat Akzila. What do you gain? You don't get the Yeshivat Akzila.
Well, four out of five chances that you don't get Yeshivat Akzila. Yeah.
You don't get that for sure if you just put it aside. Either.
Because no, so we have to see. I don't understand what
you're deferring. You're deferring the issue.
We have to understand what Tarfon is saying when he says. He puts it in the middle of him and runs for his life.
Yeah, we do have to understand that. We do have to understand that. It's not going to be in the Gemara. We're going to have to look at the sources a little bit. Or maybe by putting it in front, by whatever it is that you do, by putting it down somewhere, maybe that is a kiyum of Veheshivat Akzila in some way. Hopefully. Or maybe you just can't. Maybe you cannot do Veheshivat Akzila over here unless you pay all of them back. All right, so let's continue. Amar Mar, Miniach Gzela Beneham. Right, getting back to that point. What do? You just put it in front of them, Umistalek. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Vishakli Lakulu Vazli. What are they going to do? They're going to break it up into pieces, and then each one is going to get a fifth. But that's not, what do you accomplish by doing that? Vahama Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda. Here's the answer to the question, by the way, why you don't just give it back to one of them. Amarav, Kol Safek Hinuach Lechatchila Lo Yitol. Vim Natal Lo Yachzir. Now this is actually getting back to the halachot of Hashavas Aveda. What's Safek Hinuach? If you're walking by in a certain area and you see something that appears to be lost, but you're not sure if it's lost. Let's see an iPhone you see an iPhone sitting on a desk. Okay? It could be that the person who owns that iPhone just went to the bathroom and is coming right back. Or it could be that person is gone. What should you do?
Don't touch it.
What happens if you touch it though?
Don't give it back.
You have to find the person who belongs to. You now have a chiyuv hashavas aveda. So safek hinuach, you're not sure whether or not it was left or whether it's there on purpose. Don't pick it up. But once you pick it up, you're now obligated to find the owner. The same thing applies to stuff that you stole. The moment that you stole it, you're obligated to find the owner. That's veheshivat gzeila. It's the same concept.
So what does it say in the word? It says,
lo yachzir, meaning don't just put it back where it was.
Oh, I see. You have to find it back.
You can't just put it back down. Right. You're missed. Yeah. Amar Rav Safra, v'yaniach. Rav Safra says, no, that's what it means. V'yaniach with the Beit Din, probably. Rashi says, v'yaniach, hadiktani mistalek lav delishkeluinhu. It doesn't mean just give it to them and let them have a free-for-all and fight over it. V'lizlu, and leave. V'loshi yotzi yanim yadu. Ela tehe munachat biyado. Actually, Rashi says, you keep it. So Rashi sees it as figurative. He actually says, you keep it. You keep it, and you say, it's a siluk adin. You don't know what to do with it. V'yaniach gzeila bifneim bebeitin v'yomer beru shalmihu v'yitol umistalek min adin v'hagzeila yaniach biado achi avolihau. Basically, you say, beitin, I'm leaving this case in front of you, and you take the phone home, and once the beitin comes to you and tells you what to do with it, that's what you do with it.
It's a pretty radical reinterpretation of what seemed like just put it down and run away.
because it's unfathomable that you would just leave it there and say bye.
Right.
Well, it seems very strange that you would do that. So there is another option, which is to leave it
with the Beit
Din, which some of the Rishonim say. This is what Rashi says. Rashi says you keep it. The Rambam seems to say that you leave it in the Beit Din. There's a different
opinion. Now he's created a chiyuv on the Beit Din then.
That's their job.
Sure, but you know they're going to have to watch all this stuff from all these people.
No, the opposite. He says that he takes it. Rashi says at least he takes it. Oh, you're saying according to the Rambam that you leave it in the Beit Din. Yeah, 100%. Of course.
Difficult for the Beit Din.
Yeah, yeah.
He also found in the police station. You know this.
Yeah. And they have an obligation not to give it back unless they're sure it belongs to that person. That's their job.
They keep it forever?
At Chiyav Eliyahu. So, Amalei Abaye LeRava. Abaye says to Rava, Mi Amar Rabbi Kiva, what is Rabbi Kiva? We quoted Rabbi Tarfon, but Rabbi Tarfon argues with Rabbi Kiva. This is going back to the case of the one and the five. So Rabbi Tarfon says, you put it down and you walk away, which we've already discussed what that means. Rabbi Kiva doesn't say that. Rabbi Kiva says, Lo zu aderech motziato midei avira ad sheyeshalem gzela lekol chad b'chad. Rabbi Kiva says, you pay back all five. Mm. Pay back all five. Alma misfeka mafkina mono. Now we're back to square one. It sounds like from there that you do take money away from somebody if it's only a suffik. And this is not a case where he is voluntarily doing it. This guy says, I agree that I stole, but I don't know who I stole it from, but I only stole one. And five people come forward and say, you stole from me, and he's got to pay all five of them back, according to Rabbi Akiva.
That doesn't sound like a big deal. That sound in the first Mishnah, you interpreted saying that because he is asking for Beit Din's advice, and I think that's how we resolved it. But otherwise, they do seem like identical cases, and it does sound like he should pay all five.
They do sound like it, except that the Mishnah did explicitly say Mipnei Shahoda Mipi Atzmo. Now
here too, he's
you're right.
He
does agree that
he you're stole. Right. It's the same case.
You're right. It does sound like a very similar case, but the conclusion from that would be Misfeka Mafkina Mamona. We don't say keep the money. So now we find another contradiction. So another place where the implication is not that way, which is as it should be. Rumini, this is a little bit of a sad case. Nafal habayit alav va'al imo. A house fell down on a mother and her son. All right? This is from Bava Basra, at the end of Bava Basra. The house fell down on a boy and his mother. So now, why does it matter that it's a boy? Is it mother? Because who is Yoresh, a mother? So if the son is alive, then the son. But if the son's not alive, right, then the mother has other Yorshim, like her brothers and other people, right? Who is Yoresh? Who inherits from the son? The son's inheritors, right? Okay. So, Yorsh HaBen Omrim Ha'em Meta Rishona. The people who inherit from the son want to say that the mother died first. Why? Because if the mother died first, then the son inherited the mother, and then when he died, they get everything. Okay? Lovely. Yorsh HaBen Ha'em Omrim HaBen Met Rishon. The inheritors of the mother say the Ben Met Rishon, and therefore he doesn't inherit her anymore, and they get the money. Okay? So, what do we do? Elu Elu Modim Sheachloku. Elu Elu means the rabbis all agree that in this case, yachloku, you divide the money up between the Yorshe Ha'em and the Yorshe Ha'ben. V'amar Rabbi Kiva, mo da'ani bazu shehanachasim b'chez katan. I agree that in this case, the money stays in its chazaka. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Their properties retain their status. What does that mean?
Whatever was
hers
goes to her
Yorshim,
whatever's his goes to his Yorshim.
It would seem, yes. There's somewhat of a dispute about this. What does Rashi say over here? Mother Ava Bishani Mashal Mishal Beit Shammai. This is a strange statement. Rashi says, Rabbi Kiva says that he's from the house of Beit Shammai, which he's not. It probably means in this case he agrees with Shammai. He doesn't even explain really what it means. But I believe you guys are right that whatever was in was going to her Yorshim already anyways, goes to her Yorshim, and whatever was going to theirs goes to theirs. Either way, Nechasim Mechatz Katan is the conclusion is supposed to be that we do not take anything out because of a suffik. That's why you don't do Yachlok. So we don't do anything out of suffik. So how do we differentiate? Amalei hatam shema v'shema gezel achad michamisha bari v'shema. The difference is that over here with the Yorshim, it's shema v'shema. Nobody knows anything. Nobody knows what actually happened. So everybody is a shema. Everybody is maybe. We don't know. But gezel achad michamisha bari v'shema. The five claimants, right? The people who are claiming that he stole, they are sure. So it's five buries, and he's a shema. So yeah, they're all going to be motzi mamon. Meaning, according to Rabbi Akiva, we do cheskas marakama. We leave money where it is, unless there's a bari on the other side, and you are a shema. In other words, when it's shema and shema, so we just leave the money where it is. But if you have a bari and a shema, a bari beats cheskas mamon. A bari beats the fact that you still have the money.
So why the five all?
Because each one of them is claiming that they are sure that he stole from them. So each one is a bari, so each one is able to get from him. Whereas in the case of the mother and the son, nobody actually knows what happens. Nobody claims they know what happens.
Right. Sounds like a pretty different case altogether, the house, because I wanted to look at the chezka of where the money sits as something kind of testifying where the money belongs. If he has the money, then it, to some extent, there's some proof, even though it's weak, that it belongs to him. But in this case, the with the house, it seems to have no bearing whatsoever on who deserves. It doesn't testify at all who died first. We have no idea.
It's not clear what Cheska's moment actually is. Is it a claim? It usually seems like a pretty strange claim. It's more of just a way of handling things. In other words, if you're not sure what to do with the money,
just leave it.
So the rule is leave everything the way it is. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that's what should be? Doesn't seem to. Mm-hmm. Usually it doesn't. That's not what it should mean.
Because in the house it's certainly like that. We have no idea.
You have no idea. Yeah. Now, v'ham, so they say, wait a second though, not so fast. V'hamat nitin our mishnah dahacha. But what about this one? What about the first case in our Mishnah? That was Shema Veshema. Guy comes forward and says, I stole from one of you. I'm not sure which one. Reuven and Shimon, neither one of them is a bari.
Aren't they both?
And he has to pay them both back.
They're not both claiming. They don't know.
They don't even know. They have no idea. Nobody's made a claim. So they have no idea, and you end up paying them both back. So what's going on over there? You know already what it's going to say. Leman. Diktani Allah da'ay moder Rabbi Tarfon. Sorry, one second. Manezeh. So now the Gemara asks the same question as before. How do we know that Rabbi Akiva agrees with our Mishnah? Mimai de Rabbi Akiva hi diktani Allah da'ay moder Rabbi Tarfon ba'omer l'shnayim gazalti l'chan mechem mana ve'en yodeh ezem mechem l'man moder Rabbi Akiva bar plukte. So they say we know it's Rabbi Akiva because we established before that it could be Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Tarfon says I agree with my bar plukta. So that means Rabbi Akiva also agrees with this. It means everybody agrees with the beginning of our Mishnah. So mimai deshema deshemahu. How do we know that it's shema v'shema? Chada de lo ktani tov v'noto. First of all, because we didn't see that anybody was making any claim. V'od hatani Rabbi Chia zelmer eni odeh v'zelmer eni odeh. In the other case, in the other place where this is cited, they each said eni odeh. So how kimna beba? Let's say deshemaim. Same answer as before. The answer is that's a different case because that case is where he comes forward and he wants to be yotzei deshemaim. But in any other case, it's all about bari v'shema and it's all about cheskas mamon. But our case is a specific case. Okay. We'll stop there in terms of the Gemara. There's a few more lines, but I wanted to get to the stuff in on the sheets. So if you turn to the sheets.
There's no Migo here.
What?
It's strange that there's no Migo here.
What kind of Migo are you talking about?
I'm trying to find a Migo.
There's something like a Migo. There's something like a Migo that we're about to see. Who's Migo are you looking for?
This guy that's now, he comes forward and he says,
yeah.
And suddenly they say, no, pay five times or whatever.
Good, yeah.
We could have said, okay, I could have said that I stole from someone specific. The fact that I'm now admitting that I don't know who I stole from.
What's that's name?
Yeah.
It's an advantage.
Yeah, it looks like I could have said that I stole from Reuven and then I only paid once.
Yeah.
So why now that I came forward and I said, I'm not sure, should I pay twice? It's not exactly amigo.
So take a look. There is a little bit of amigo over here. The word's not used, but it reminds me of it. So the Kedusha Ramban is the first one to point this out. The second case in our Mishnah, the second case where there was a pikadon, right? The pikadon where he wasn't sure which one it was. So the Ramban says the following: Ikad Rami Ashmaisin Ze Omer Matayim Shali Vze Omer Matayim Shali. Some people ask the question on this part: Nifkar Mechuyav Shvua Sheinu Yachali Shavahu. Say the guy should be chayav shvua. You were looking for a shvua, so here the shvua is supposed to be put on the guy who actually is holding the money. They want to make him take the shvua. Why? Because he is moda. He's moda that he did get money, so he shouldn't have to take a shvua because that's what usually happens when you're moda. Okay, skip that part. So what should happen over here? What should happen is that we should have made him take a shvua, but he can't take the shvua, and therefore he should have to pay. Yeah. That's the rule. When you have to take a shvua, but you can't, you have to pay. So just to recap over here, this guy is claiming that he agrees with Reuven and Shimon that they each left him money, but he forgets if it was, and each one gave, one of them gave him 200, one of them gave him 100. Forgets which one is which. So he should, the Gemara says that he gives each one 100 and puts the other 100 aside, or he gives each one of them nothing. Ramban says, why doesn't he have to pay each one of them 200? Because after all, he agrees that he owes money, and in a normal case, okay, Reuven comes forward and claims, you have my money, you have my 200. And the one with the pikadon says, no, because I'm not sure what should happen, I'm only going to give you 100. What do we call that? Moda b'miktzas. Right? He agrees that I owe you at least 100. Moda b'miktzas has to take a shvua in order to be able to get out of it with just that. But he can't take a shvua because it wouldn't be true. So he should have to pay. Based on this other mechanism, he should have to pay 200 to each one of them. Not necessarily because it's the right thing to do, but because of a halachic mechanism that should exist. So how are we going to get out of it? So you have three approaches to getting out of this problem. So Ramban suggests, Umistaber de leka hachadin shvua, de lo rama rachmana shvua, ela la kofer, umaakev mamun chaveru la atzmo, de lishtaba ki hecha de lodi. Fahai, modu, vechi ramit shvua alai. So Ramban says, first of all, the modu b'miktas, the concept of making a person take a shvua, what's the purpose of that shvua? The original purpose of that shvua was, why is a person being moda b'miktas? Imagine the case. Reuven says to Shimon, I lent you $200. Now you have to give me back $200. And Shimon says back, no, you only lent me 100. So in the original Gemaras that talk about this, they say, why does he have to take a shvua? Because we're concerned about something. You know what we're concerned about? We're concerned that really Shimon did borrow 200, and the only reason he's saying that he didn't is not because he's a Rasha, it's because he doesn't have the 200. He plans on paying Reuven back, but he can't pay him back right now. So he's saying that he only owes 100. So in order to motivate him to pay back the 200, we make him take a shvua. Now we assume that really he's not telling the truth, but he would not be willing to take a shvua, and therefore he's going to tell the truth if you make him take a shvua. But here, that's not the case. The guy really doesn't know who gave him the $100. So there's no point in making him take a shvua, even though he is moda b'miktas in a way. So Ramban says, it cuts it out at the knees, there's no reason to take a shvua. There's no chiyuv shvua, therefore he doesn't have to pay the 200. That's his first suggestion. We'll skip to the Rashba. The Rashba, his student, has a different one. We can just do the underlined parts. He says, "Dekeven da'aleh didei rami lemeida, v'lo yada, chashvin alei posheah, d'chol lo yadana pshiyutahi." In other words, he says, no, the reason why this is different is because in a normal case of moda b'miktas, a person is considered a poshea. He did something wrong. But here we don't think he did anything wrong. They each left him money, and they did it in a way that was confusing to him. We're not going to punish him for that. I can make him take a shvuah for that and therefore make him pay. And that's why he's going to be pater. And then finally, the Nisivos has a different answer. He says, he's not gaining anything, I believe, is the answer over here. Basically, he says, look, it makes no difference to me which one of you gets the money. He says, I got 300, I'm willing to give it all up. I'm not holding anything back. I agree with everybody that I have $300 and it doesn't belong to me, and I'm not even going to hold on to any of it. So he's not actually kofering anything. He just doesn't know who to give it to. He's not modeh b'mikzah, he's modeh b'kul. He agrees with everything that he owes. He just doesn't know who to give it back to. So that's why he says it's not chayav shvuah. Is it the same as the first?
We also said that there was no point to make Nishwa because he acknowledged it.
But here it's a little bit different because he's saying the Ramban seems to be saying he is withholding money, but he has no motivation to do it. And here the Nesiva is saying he's not even withholding any money. He's saying, here, take your 300, just figure out what to do with it. But I can't give it back to you that way.
Is that what we said with the Ramban?
The Ramban
said that normally we want the Shrua in order to compel him to tell the truth when otherwise, yes. And that's not the case here. So there's no point to the Shrua, isn't that?
No, because he doesn't.
Right,
know.
But he is still being kofer.
The Shrua is supposed to say, I'm sure about it. We're not sure. So whoever makes the Shrua, it becomes now that he's sure. That according to in our case, he's not sure. So he can't make a shvuah saying I'm nishba that I'm not sure. It's not that's why he can't take the shvuah, according to the Rambam. That's what I. It's not.
I can't think of an afkamim, but I think the conceptual difference is that according to the Ramban, there is a kfirah over here. It is modeh b'miktzas, but he doesn't have to take a shvuah because the reason for taking a shvuah in modeh b'miktzas doesn't apply. Whereas according to the Nesivos, it's not even modeh b'miktzas. He's saying here. Take it all.
What's he doing, Nadav? What is he doing? He's bringing the money down and walking away?
Well, in the end of the day, we know he takes the extra 100 and he's ajehe munach, but he doesn't take it home with him. He doesn't do anything with it. So he basically says, here's the 300. I need to put the 100 over here on the side. I can't give it to either of you because I don't know which one to give it to. But I'm not withholding anything, according to the Nesivos. That's what he says. There's no more than mixes here. I'm not withholding anything. Everything is out of my possession. I think that's the difference. I'm not sure what the nafkamina might be, but the conceptual difference is that. Here's something really nice. In Rav Erlanger, the Birkas of Ram, so he talks about this, the line that kept coming up, but the Gemara didn't really get into it. What happens to this money? So you look in the Rambam, and the Rambam writes in one place, he says, V'hashar yeh munach etzlo ad lo olam o ad shiyod ha'echad l'chaviro. He keeps it forever, or until one of them admits that he was lying.
Hmm.
Why does the Rambam not mention Eliyahu? Okay. So he says, he says, Diladas haran v'haritva, ein echad ne'eman lomar aved dezu shel ploni, shal yidizeh, you can't say that this object belongs to somebody. We've talked about this. You guys remember? The Ran said this. You remember we did the sugya with the Ran and the Shari Yoshi. It was a great sugya. Let's see if I remember. The Ran says that, imagine Yecheskel found an object and he doesn't know who it belongs to. And Matthew comes to Yecheskel and says, that belongs to Yoel. Do we believe Matthew? Now, if Yoel would come to Yecheskel and say, that belongs to me, and Yoel was a trustworthy individual, then we would just give it to Yoel. But can Matthew come to Yecheskel and say it belongs to Yoel? Can that work?
My instinct would be yes, because why? I've got no personal gain from it other than trying to
do it. Good. So the question is, what is Yechezkel's requirement vis-a-vis the lost object? Remember, we talked about this from the Shari Yosha and the for the Shari Yosha made it a split between the Ritva and the Ran. I believe it was the Ritva. I don't remember exactly. But as the Kovet Shirim points out, the Ran says no. The Ran says we don't believe you. And the Kovet Shirim explained the reason is because Yechezkel is like a one-man Beis Din. He needs to be legalistically sure who it belongs to. Now, why he gives it to Yoel is a good question. And when we did the circuit, we explained why. But from that perspective, he can't trust Matthew to give it to Yoel. He can't do that. Because
I trust that it belongs to him, but I just can't trust him to get it to the rightful.
No, you can't trust Matthew that it belongs to Yoel. Because Matthew's Eid Echad. Because Matthew is Eid Echad. Now, why Yoel is able to do it for himself is a separate question.
No, it sounds to be even harder to do because he can't be a witness for himself.
Because it's not there. I remember we were very satisfied with the answer. I can't exactly remember what the answer was. I remember being very happy with it. It had to do with Bari and Shema. Yes, that's what it was. It had to do with Bari and Shema. It was exactly that. Yoel can claim Bari-li that it's mine, and Yechezkel doesn't know. So Yechezkel. Right. So that's a good taina.
Yeah.
That's a good taina. He's not coming mitam etos. He's coming mitam the Baal Din. The Baal Din can come forward and say Bari-li that it's mine.
And a third party isn't allowed to say Bari-li?
And he can't. A third party can't say Bari-li.
Even if he's short.
Yeah, because that's called an aid. And an aide can't do that. So that's why that doesn't work. According to the Ran, the Shari Yosha pointed that I believe the Ritva disagreed with that. He said that that's not really how it works, and he would be able to do that. But either way, that's what he claims. So he says, what does that do for us? Well, here's the key. When we say that we're going to leave it to the side until Eliyahu comes, this is what I wanted to get to. What happens when Eliyahu comes?
He decides.
No. So he decides, and he basically says, this belongs to that guy. Is that what it means? He says, what? Sheyagid baruch hakodesh? Dakati eino ela eid echad. At the end of the day, Eliyahu will be an eid echad, right? Eliyahu is no better than Matthew. Matthew coming to Yechezkel and saying, that belongs to Yoel, is the same thing halachically as Eliyahu coming to Yechezkel and saying, it's Yoel's.
But together...
If they would both come together, then maybe it would work. But either way, Eliyahu coming even with his Ruach HaKodesh, in terms of halakha, in terms of the base, it's not clear that that matters at all. So what happens when Eliyahu comes? Is it just a phrase? Ela, d'ksheyavo Eliyahu, I love this part, yoda hashakron mimela.
Yeah.
When Eliyahu comes, the guy is just going to give up. Guy's going to come clean. Because Eliyahu knows. Eliyahu does know. Because he does have Ruach HaKodesh. And he's going to stand in front of Eliyahu and say, it's mine. Eliyahu is looking at him and saying, So he's going to tell the truth. And that's what the Rambam means when he says, oh, Achiyoda. Achiyoda was a key word for Achiyav Eliyahu. That's what it was. In other words, what do we mean when we say Achiyav Eliyahu? We mean until this guy admits it and tells himself. He tells us himself that he was lying. It's good stuff.
It's going to be hard for him to not do.
What?
I said this is more like Sunday night
stuff. This is more like Sunday night stuff.
Now we have to go down there. Actually, it took me 5 generations ago something like this happened. So who's standing in front of Eliyahu?
You're saying practically this doesn't even work because Eliyahu is not going to be able to. Yeah, that's a great point.
What do you do?
It's a great point.
You leave it in your will with it. Like, what do? You say, don't your descendants don't touch this and stay here.
Don't know. That's a great point. Also, we have a bigger problem than that.
It's just a phrase.
If you think about it, hold on. One thing here doesn't make sense at all. And maybe this is actually going to help us later on. What about the Reisha and the Mishnah? No, not the Reisha. Sorry.
The one where they didn't know between them.
Yeah, no, that he actually paid. The case in the middle was there were liars. Yeah, that makes sense. I was trying to think of a case where there's no liars. And it still says Achiyav Eliyahu. We don't really have that. At least over here.
No, because they let go down at the beginning where
he pays. All right, Matthew, Mike, point well taken. Now the Birkas HaRam continues. He says, "Omnam, hold on a second. This is what we want to say is pshat in the Rambam. Ayin beelchas gzeil of aveda, the baaveda shehichriz velo ba'o ba'alim litain simanim, tehem unachas biado ad shiov Eliyahu. But wait a second. Elsewhere, the Rambam does mention Eliyahu. He says when there's an aveda, and the ba'alim don't come, you put it on the side until Eliyahu comes. V'chein sham, matza kli zahav, o kli tzchuchit, uksut shal pishtan, hareze lo yigabahen, ad shiov Eliyahu. G'derach shamur ba'aveda, amur b'kadon, shahalchu ba'alim v'mdina sayam, hare degam, a Rambam kasa v'lashon zah. The Rambam did use this lashon of yemunach ad shiov Eliyahu. Maybe you can say that they both mean the same thing, and you should understand that when the Rambam says Ad Sheyov Eliyahu, he really means Ad Sheyoda. Maybe that's what it means. But he says, maybe not. This is what I was trying to get at before. I just couldn't think of it from the Gemara. Where did the Rambam say Ad Sheyoda Chavero? That was in the case of Gzela, where there was where the guy was saying that it was his and that it was stolen. He's lying. But where there's only Aveda, so that maybe you do need Eliyahu for. But that's really the Rambam, the Ein Eliyahu Ne'eman Aval Be'ofen She'ein Lefaneinu Baal Davar Klal, where there's no Baal Davar. In other words, you have a lost object. You have no one claiming that it's theirs. It's not like you have people claiming that it's theirs and you don't know if to believe them or not. Nobody's claiming. So that's what you need Eliyahu for. El Shalom Oda Mi'a Baalim Be'ein Simanin Lefaneinu Baal Davar. Shoppers really disagi b'Eliyahu. You can use Eliyahu for that. The gamza bichlal ad drosh darsheu imhu ramai. That's part of the obligation on the person who found an object. Rakli store tanas baldaber lo sagi. The chains really davka masdisin to beidan shiyoda. Rak makai gam. That's really the Rambam kedibrei kovishirim. In other words, maybe we can be mechalik between stealing and finding. Then when it comes to stealing, where there's a person who's claiming that it was stolen from him, there you need Eliyahu. You have two people claiming that. You need Eliyahu to determine, to force one of them to tell the truth. But when you have a case of a lost object and you simply don't know whose object it is, then Eliyahu can help you find the object. Like he's going to help you with the kvarim, so he's going to help you find the object. But then he points out, if you look in the Rambam, it doesn't work. Because the Rambam in Mechira, b'lakach me'achad mechamisha v'enu idea mimi, you took from one of five people, and you don't know from whom. Right, this is the Gemara in Baba Kama, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Tarfon. It sounds like Eliyahu is going to work even if they don't admit. It's dochik to say that it's talking about one case where the guy admits by himself, and the other case where he's forced to admit by Eliyahu. It's kind of like be'ita achishena type of thing. Where like some people will admit by themselves, some people will admit when Eliyahu forces them. He says it's dochik to say that in the Rambam. He says the pashas is that when Eliyahu comes, there's not going to be a suffik because nitamet lanu nivuato v'adif me'ed echad yesh gam chashash mishaker. He wants to say in the end, maybe Eliyahu's nivua really is like edus. Maybe it's good enough at least to determine which between two people which one of them deserves the money. The Misha Machzik Mamun Avur Abalim Sagi Baze. He says, I'm not really sure. But it's interesting. Basically, you know, he's struggling with this idea of what it means. How exactly that works and what happens when Eliyahu comes. Okay, we're not going to have time to go through this whole thing. I'm just tell you some of the highlights outside. This piece deals with the concept of shtika kohoda that we had at the top of the page. All right? So it was kind of a funny shtika kohoda because even when he was shoseik, that was the whole point of the Gemara, is that he was shoseik, but it wasn't really hoda because he had what's called an amsala. He had an excuse for his shtika. So how does shtika kohoda work at all? That's why I brought this, because it's actually pretty cool. How does shtika kohoda work? Right, Yechezkel comes and he says, you owe me money. And I say nothing. Maybe, let's say he does that in Beis Din. In Beis Din, you accuse me that I owe you money, I borrowed money from you, and I just sit on the stand and I plead the fifth. Right? There's no pleading the fifth. Shtika, kehoda. So, does the Beis Din award you money?
I'd like to think no.
Really?
Yeah, why? Because I haven't created, how could I create an obligation on you? There are celebrities who are getting accused all
in
the
Beis Din,
time.
In Beis Din.
It's Hoda'ah, then it must be you.
Let's say.
You're getting it as if you want
and
to say yes.
Not only did I stay quiet, like there's a lot of people around, and it's expected that I'm going to right? Deny it. And I don't have an experience. And it's not like everybody's doing this to me every day. You came forward and you did this to me. The chora, that's the prototypical shtiko oda. I have to pay you money. Okay? Question is why? There are two options. What are the two options? What do you think? What would create my obligation to pay you? One is if you take shtika kehoda kemashma'o. Pshuto kemashma'o. Shtika kehoda, you have to add on two words to that. Shtika kehodat. Baldin. In other words, when I was shotek, I was really saying something. I was saying, I agree with you. Which means who is mechayev me to pay? Me. It's as if I had said, you're right, I do. And in that case, I would have to pay you because I just said I owed you, so I did it. What's the other option, though? The other option might be that you made a claim against me and I failed to respond.
Failed to deny.
If I would have denied, I could have ripped apart your claim and you would have had to bring witnesses. But I didn't. So what creates the chiyuv? Your claim. And because I didn't make any counterclaim, your claim won. I wasn't mechayev myself. I didn't obligate myself. There was no hodat valdin per se. I didn't agree with you. But because I didn't deny it, the only claim on the table is yours. Right? Something akin to Bari Veshema, but not exactly the same. So which one of those is right, and what does it matter? So can you think of any nafka minas between them?
So we saw nafka mina in the case of the five.
What's the nafka mina in the case of the five?
I don't remember. I just remember that in the case of the five, that he doesn't, although he...
Whether you can make an excuse afterwards.
Yeah.
Right? Whether you can make an excuse afterwards. Yeah. I'll say even better. Can you be chozer on shtika? If you made a claim against me in Beis Din, right? And then I said, I agree with you. That did happen. And then afterwards, I take it back. Can I take it back? No, you can't take it back anything in Beis Din once it's said. This is a huge nafka mina. If I don't say anything, right? If it's not saying something, it's really, really like saying something.
Then I can't take that back.
But if it's not like saying, if not saying something just simply means that I am not fighting back, then I haven't made a claim. I can still enter a claim later. That's a huge nafka mina, right? Other nafka minas might be tanat safek. Let's say you came forward and you said, I think you owe me money.
If
right now,
with me.
Here it's really shema shema. It's not really clear why you should be able to get anything from me, anyways. But in theory, let's say that would work. So if shtika kahoda, so then
you're admitting that you owe me money.
Well, I'm actually only admitting. I'm admitting that I also think maybe they owe you money. So maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it doesn't do anything. But if it means that you have a claim against me and I'm not going to reject that claim, then maybe you would win.
Mm-hmm. This is a little stronger.
So the Shita Mikubetzes also points out a different nafka mina. Take a look in Bet, because it's actually important. He says, "Hinei b'Shita Mikubetzes katav mikan nira lifsok gabe yayin nesech diim amar adam Yisrael nitnasech yincha." Let's say Matthew came over to me and said, "Your yayin is yayin nesech," okay, and I say nothing. You're basically accusing me of doing a budazar. That's basically what's happening. Shatik afilu ein biyadu lenasech mehemen. Even if I couldn't do anything, Matthew's believed because I didn't say anything. Tishtika kohoda adamya. So he just took that out of the realm of mamonos, by the way. And he put it in the realm of yorodea, of isser v'heter. Shtika kohoda, even outside the realm of money. What does that imply? V'hine b'yay nesach ein eid echa ne'aman le'asor ela imkein hu b'yado l'nasech. You shouldn't be believed unless you could have done the yayin. Let's keep going. Dahit chazik hetera, because the yayin has a chazaka of being mutter. In order to make it asur, you need to really be sure. Mikomakom mahani mitam shtika koda le'asur yayin mashma dahava kimakabel dvarav uma amino ayin sham shikasav shiim beliba ma amino asur gamba ofen sheish litot v'adav masur leiv mashma zed zed geder shavi anav shechadim yisur. That could be because I believe you and therefore I made an usher for myself. So what does that mean? So how does, so which side is this? If you say that it does become Yai Nesach. So here he says the reason is because, yeah, he believes it. Yeah, so that's more of the side of Baal Davar, that it's not like you're just sitting back and doing nothing. You're actually agreeing with him. You're agreeing with him. It sounds like you're doing something before. Because otherwise, here's the point. If Matthew came forward and said, your Yain is Yain Nesach, do I have to believe Matthew? Do I have to not have the Yain Nesach? No, because he's only an Eid Echad. The rule is I don't have to. So I could just say back to Matthew, but Yain Nesach is different. Yain Nesach is different. So I could just say to Matthew, no, it's not, and then my Yain Nesach is fine. Then my Yain is fine. But if I don't say anything, then it's like I accepted Matthew's Taina. Now, this is not Dine Mamonos. It's not like you have a Taina. Taina is the wrong word. Like, it's not like you win. But the Yayin becomes Yayin Nesach. What's the explanation for that? It must be that Shtika Kehoda is an active thing. It's like I agree with you and I've created a reality where you're right. So it's that sad. So it means that it's more like Hoda's Baal Din. All right, let's finish up by just looking through the Shulchan Aruch, because I always like, after learning the Gemara, learning the whole Sugya, just see how it all gets condensed by Yosef Karo and the Ramah. He says, Amar l'shnayim gazalti at echad michem ve'en yode ezehu. I stole from one of you, I don't know which one. Einu noten elamana. Vehem cholkin beineyem. Me'achar shehem lo ayu yodim shnigzilu, ela al piv. Ve'im kol zeh, im balatzad yidei shamayim, chayav l'shalim kol agzeh, el kol achar v'achat. So there's our answer. You don't have to do it, but if you want to be yodzad yidei shamayim, you pay them both. Okay? Good. Aval shnayim shetavu et echad, v'kol achar mehem amar lei, but if you have tovim, they're claiming, they're suing you, and each one says, gizaltani mana v'hu meishiv, emet shegizalti et echad mikem mana, aval ein yodeh leitz mikem, chayav l'shalim l'kol achar mehem mana. He only has to give back 100 to each one of them. He has to give back. He has to give back 100 to each one of them. That's according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, in the end, passing like Rabbi Akiva, you have to pay back all of them. But if you came forward yourself, you don't have to. V'chein im gazal l'shnayim le'achad mana u'le'achad matayim v'kol achad mehem tovo matayim v'hino yodeh l'mi gazal matayim noten l'kol achad matayim. Got to pay them both back 200. Gazal le'achad v'hino yodeh im hechzir lo av b'she'en tovei oto chayav l'shalim lo im ba l'tzet yidei shemayim. If you come forward and say, I don't know whether I paid you back for stealing, so if you want to be Yotza Dei Shemayim, you pay him back. If you don't, you don't have to. Aval, because it's a suffix. It's a Shema and a Shema. Aval, imamar le'echad, eni yodei im gizalticha im lav. But if you say to a person, I don't even know if I stole from you, afilu b'bal etzei Dei Shemayim, enu chayel shayim lo. If there's a possibility you didn't even steal from him, then you don't have any chiyuv at all. Why? It's an interesting point. Because if you stole from him, but you're not sure if you paid back, then you have a suffix in v'heshevet egzela. So that's the definition of chayav letzet l'yishamayim. But if you're not even sure if you stole from him, then there's not really anything letzet l'yishamayim. You may not have even stolen, you may not have even created any chiyuv. You don't know for sure that you created any chiyuv. Shkoyach.
What's the halacha of giving each one a maneh if you're not letzet l'yishamayim? So what's the point?
They're suing you.
No. Gazalti l'echad mikem b'ini yodeh ezeh, you know not en el maneh, v'hem cholkim b'nehem.
The first
case.
No, v'kol echad mehem. No, v'kol echad, but it started with v'kol echad mehem amar le gazaltani mana. They're claiming. You missed the beginning. Shnayim shetavu et echad. V'kol echad mehem amar le gazaltani mana. V'hu meishif emet shegazalti et echad mehem.
The first one?
Mm-hmm. No, so that's where he's the motive. He's the initiator.
Yeah.
He said, you pay the din is you only have to pay them back 100 each, but if you want to be yotzei d'shamayim.
So why would you do it if you don't want to sit yotzei d'shamayim? That's what I'm.
Oh, why would you pay them back only half? Yachloko.
Yeah. What does that give? What does that help?
That's a good question.
Tvi'ah even.
In other words, you're not really accomplishing anything.
Anything.
You're not really accomplishing anything.
Each one of my nerves. It's a dog here, whatever. It's not.
I don't remember. It's a good question. We didn't see that. That's Yachloku. That's Yachloku. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. All right. Shkoyach. Tzarchia.